Hey, y'all, welcome to Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. As you know, I go around this amazing planet finding the best humans I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today I am so honored because I have Jesse and Omar here, and they're like a powerful duo, y'all. I've been watching their podcast, like, okay, they got swag. Okay, so they are changing the way we navigate life's biggest turning points. So Jesse and Omar are the creators of A Soul's Quest. It's a transformational platform that helps midlife professionals and seekers move through career shifts, identity crisis, personal awakenings with clarity and resilience and renewed freaking purpose. Okay, y'all. So pay attention. Go grab a pen and a pad or something. All right. And pay attention. Welcome so much to Straight Talk. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you so much for having us. That was an introduction, girl.
Yeah. Love it. Yes.
Do when this. I have good people, that's what I want to do. No, I'm really grateful you guys are here. You know, for those of you who don't know, I was on their podcast recently. So hopefully you go and grab that. And absolutely. I love my audience, y'all, because one of the things, I've been doing this since 2018, right? So about 6 years now. And one of the things that has been such a blessing in doing this podcast is the connections that I made with people like yourselves and also with my audience, because I've had a lot of people in my audience work with people they've heard on the podcast. Yeah. So that has been such a blessing, right? Because that's what we do this for. We do this to connect people to our truths, to reality, to whatever we're trying to put out in the world. So tell me about you guys. So let's start with Jesse, ladies first.
Absolutely. Well,
chivalry is not dead. Who said that?
Chivalry is not dead. Exactly. No, it's not.
Let's see. What about me? So I have been the co-host. He says I'm the host, but I co-host the ASQ podcast, which stands for A Soul's Quest. And A Soul's Quest was born during the pandemic. And it was an interesting way that it was born. From my perspective, it was very interesting because I was working in higher education, very much, you know, I like to tell people living in the matrix, just doing my thing, just living in the zone, just functioning, letting everybody put their labels and whatnot on me. And I was fine with that, you know? And I came home and my husband was in the office, and I walked in there because I had my office in there too, because I was working on like my doctorate and whatever. And I was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, looking at all this stuff, this equipment. And he's like, oh, yeah, I just want to let you know, that we're going to do a podcast. And I was like, oh, he speaks French now. He speaks French now. He said, oui. So then I said, what do you mean? A podcast? What do you mean? And he's like, yeah, we're going to do a podcast and you're going to be the hostess. And I'm like, what? I said, no.
In case you didn't know, now you know.
Okay? Now I know. Seriously. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I said, no. And he was insisting. So I was like, no, I'm not, I'm good. I'm not doing that. And he's like, yeah, we are. And I said, okay, is it audio? Cause I can do audio. And he's like, it's audio and video. And I'm like, oh my God.
Which is the right way to do it though. Omar, that's the right way to do it though.
She's a lot prettier than I am. You know, nobody wants to see this guy. I want to see her, but you know.
That was what he said.
You were taking advantage of her beauty. That's what happened.
That's what exactly happened. And I don't want to boast or anything. I'm not an egotistical person, but damn, I was like, okay, I guess this is happening. So in our relationship, we've always been very supportive of each other. And this was sort of a creative outlet for him. And I was like, okay, fine, let's do this. And he's like, okay, well, you know, again, chivalry is not dead. So I'm going to be the hostess. And then he's like, and you're going to be the first person to be interviewed, because if we're going to talk about this stuff, we have to put ourselves out there. And I'm like, this guy is killing me. Right. So I was the very first interview for this show. And it sounds like I've been doing a lot of firsts even lately on our show and the things that we're doing, which is pretty incredible, because I will say that as I've moved forward with this, platform, it has been very, very eye-opening. And it's been, I like to tell people that I literally believe this platform saved my life. And so that's a little bit about our professional aspect. You know, I got personal stuff I can share too, but I don't want to take all the time away.
So what about you, Omar? Like, because that's not something that somebody brings home equipment and says, we're going to do a podcast, right? So tell me about you then. Like, what have you been doing and what made you think about that?
So I've been always searching for who I am, mm-hmm. right? Because I think it all starts, everything starts from that one question. And then we'll get into that more as we begin to conversate, right? So just a little bit of a background. I was born in a little island called Dominican Republic. And I loved it growing up. It was so beautiful. We played baseball after school and it was that, right? But one day my mom told me, it's like, I'm leaving. I have to go and you're going to stay behind. But so from that moment, it was a really heartbreaking for me because that was my mom. You know, I grew up with my mother. I didn't grow up with a father around. And when she left, I was left behind and, you know, the sense of abandonment as a kid. I had a difficult time growing up because I used to get physically abused. So I went into this state of, and again, there's a context to it. So I want people to understand, right? So one of the things that happened is like, I used to get, you know, whipping or something like that. And I used to go to bed and I used to cry for my dad and he wasn't going to be there. I used to cry for my mom and she never came. And mm-hmm. then I cry for God and that never happened. So at that point in life, and I became very internal, very introspective from that point on. So I took a lot of things in. So as time progresses, you know, my mom comes back a couple of years later and she says, oh, we're moving to New York. And I'm like, what? And not New York, I'm going to the South Bronx, you know? So, I go to the South Bronx and, you know, it's foreign to me. I hated New York.
And tough.
Mm-hmm. I hated New York. It was so completely different from growing up in DR when everybody was friends. You constantly mm-hmm. had to be watching your back. So I had to learn quickly. Plus, I didn't speak the language, right? So as that progressed, my mom put me in the Boy Scouts and I tried to do everything in my power to get rid of it. I don't want to go. I was sick. Got a migraine. I got homework. No. So my mom forced me to go and she sat there so that I wouldn't skip. Right. So that's the type of mom that I had. She makes sure that I went. She makes sure that I was there. And that was a pivotal point in my life because I met two people, Ken Mulling, Betty Medina, and they molded me to think, to question things, to be able to know that as a person who's an immigrant, a person who is a person of color, that I am no better and no worse than anybody, that mm-hmm. they trusted me. And these are white folks, right? And they trusted me and they showed me and they helped me grow. And they gave me an opportunity to be a Boy Scout leader at an early age. So I used to take people into summer camps, take 60 kids. So you're from New York, take 60 kids in the subway, right? To go to Madison Square Garden to watch wrestling or whatever, camping trips, and never lost anybody. That kind of level of trust at an early age, it was foundational. Now, what happened was, as my life continued, there were a couple of breaking points. The first one happened when I was in college, and I wanted to go into the FBI. That was my thing. You know, you come from the Boy Scouts. That's kind of like law enforcement and things like that. But I did something broke inside of me. I literally broke. I was in 19 years old, my own apartment, working full time, going to school full time. But something broke. And from that moment, I started like seeking and learning and reaching out. So I came across Joseph Campbell and The Power of Myth, The Hero's Journey, Mythology, Carl Jung, and all this stuff. And then from there, it was just a question of who am I and what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. So at Source Quest, although I had a career and working with youth, because that's something that I was been passionate about and working with young people to teach them, to guide them, to show them that values are important, to show all these different things. So that right there, I can't express who I am without those people that came before mm-hmm. me, like Ken, like my mother, Betty, because being able to, as a young age, to question and have the permission to question things and to explore things is what led to A Soul's Quest. So the premise of A Soul's Quest is this. First and foremost, in my opinion, in our opinion, you are pitched into the universe. You don't pick your parents. You don't pick your household. You don't pick the way that you look. You don't pick your culture. You don't pick any of that. You're just pitched into the universe. And from there, you have to make sense of life, right? So first, you get what everybody tells you, which is natural because you have to be a part of a society. But there comes a point in your life in which there's something internally inside of you. You all know the voice. Everybody knows the voice. Everybody knows the yearning. And mm-hmm. some of us don't want to listen to that. So we use drugs. We do whatever it takes not to listen to that. But inside of you, you know what, there's something more. Yeah. My problem is that I didn't know what to do, right? I wanted to listen, and I did. It led me to some good places, right? And I made a lot of mistakes searching that. But the thing for us is to recognize that our life is an unfoldment rather than a destination.
Yeah. Meaning,
the more that we go through life, the more we begin to recognize different aspects of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beauty in that. Right? Because if you ask the question, who am I? Right? You start realizing that just like a flower unfolds, our lives unfold. But we have this thing called reason and knowledge, the things that runs everything. Mm-hmm. But we are so much more complex, and we are so much more beautiful than what we are led to be. I always start whatever speak I do and whatever part I come to talk about who am I start with this one quote from Carl Sagan. And this is the true who you are. We are a way for the universe to know itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that? Like, okay, what does that mean, right?
Right.
Is that you, and this is scientifically proven, right? We are made of atoms. We are made of all these different things. But yet, if it's only through us that the universe truly knows itself. So the grandeur of who you are needs to come out, but we are always diminished either by outside forces or forces within. So the soul squares, the idea is to recognize first and foremost the beauty, the depth of who you are, mm-hmm, the manifestation mm-hmm. of the universe in the here and now, not in the past, not in the future, here. And there is a beauty and a responsibility for you to live from that point.
Right. And there's a connectiveness too, right? I think, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine today. We went out for coffee and we were talking about the terrible things that we keep seeing in the news, the people celebrating the death of a man, the others mourning the death of a man. Like, you know, and I'm just like, it is horrible because there is these outside influences and voices that have separated us as souls, right? Because mm-hmm. the truth is we all seek the same things, which is fulfillment and joy and love and health and happiness, mm-hmm. those things in our life. Mm-hmm. Yet there are, you know, going to what you were saying about either we're influenced by outside or inside, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's those outside voices that started to formulate the inside mm-hmm. voices, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Especially when we're kids. I mean, you're going through all these tragic moments as a little one, and mm-hmm. you're trying to understand why is this happening, and you don't. So you make your own conclusions, which right. then become your personality and what you're doing and yep. all that kind of thing, right? I mean, consciously, what is it? I think statistically or consciously, scientifically, they say that only 5% is controlled by a conscious brain and like 95% mm-hmm. from our subconscious brain, mm-hmm. right? But yeah. there's also morals, there's also feelings, there's also emotions, there's a spirit and a soul. I believe mm-hmm. all of that. So that's a beautiful journey that you guys took. And so you just like roped your wife right on in there, huh? Like just, well, you're just coming with me.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, being a couple is two horses pulling the carriage together, right?
Yeah.
Most people don't realize that, you know, and again, we live in a very cynical society nowadays. Yeah, so marriage is like, what's the point and whatever. Yeah. But she's my best friend. You right. know, she's just my best friend. And
right.
and I have friends, but she's my friend. She's like my ride or die. Right. So
right.
we look at life as two horses put in the carriage together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when we both given ourselves the time to allow ourselves to grow. Mm-hmm, and to do that. And to your point of what you mentioned earlier is about, you know, we define the soul in a specific way, right? Because a lot of the stuff that you mentioned, ideologies, these are things that are separating people. Mm-hmm. You know, we already know, and this has been proven, that everybody is connected. You know, we share 99%, 98% of the DNA with everything that exists. So there is that oneness that we all have to recognize, right? But the soul, and what the problem is that we don't understand truly who we are. Again, go back to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because we think primarily that our functions are mental, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, and most people don't understand what the subconscious is, don't understand the different components of the subconscious. Mm-hmm. And not because they can't, it's just because we haven't really talked about it, right? Mm-hmm. So the way that we define the soul, it has four components, right? Number one is your desires, which is the mammalian stuff. And that is important to understand, right? I love power. I'm not afraid of power. Now, there's my definition of power. Mm-hmm. What was taught to me by Ken was power is influencing others by the way that you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not by control, which is right. an aspect right. of power, but how you live your life, right? I also want power to be able to take care of my family, take care of us, making sure that we're doing the things. To talk like this requires a certain understanding that I have to be powerful, right?
Right.
Now, we don't understand duality in life. When you look at nature, nature is dual. You know, there's opposing forces, not fighting. It's like a dance. So when you understand your desires, right, you understand what drives you, that's the first step. Because the next comes your emotions, and your emotions are your GPS system, right? They tell mm-hmm, you when you're off the track or not off the track. You know, we always equate negative emotions with, you know, bad things. It's actually the gateway to be actually discover, okay, why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. Well, it could be because I haven't found really what drives me, my desire. So if my desire right now is a desire for belonging, right? And my emotions telling me in a situation in which I have to put myself down or something, right? Then I'm realizing, wait a minute, I want to belong, but I don't want to diminish who I am, right? So when you start understanding that, then you're using your logic to discriminate between what's real and what isn't real and right. what is it that you truly want. Once you start understanding that within yourself, then you become to live from a different point of view, which is the higher awareness, right? Right. Which is the self, as Carl Jung calls it, because in the self, only by you understanding these aspects of you, only from there can you really look at the other person in the eye and say, you and I are one, mm-hmm. right? Because you understand the journey inward, that those things that make you, mm-hmm. you begin to truly understand that, wow, if I feel pain, I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. People feel pain. This is why us are doing podcasts, because what you went through and what we went through, we recognize people are going through this too.
Yes. Right?
And that yes. is supposed to make us feel more empathic towards one another.
You know,
it's very sad what's happening right now, because the reality is we're fighting and killing each other's, not for actual things, but for ideas.
Right? Ideas, yeah. And I was just going to say that. And that's why I think that a lot of us feel a violation when something is done towards another human that mm-hmm. it shouldn't be, no matter if their ideologies are different, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think that's that human instinct that we go, whoa, that's evil. Yeah. That's not mm-hmm. good, right? And so, Jesse, did you always feel this way too? Like, were you always aligned with these? Because you said in the beginning that you broke away from the matrix. So I want mm-hmm. you to talk to me about what you think the matrix is, and what is it that you feel you had to break away from?
So for me, living in the matrix was following the rules, mm-hmm, the rules mm-hmm. with air quotes here, that society has placed, or the expectations that society has placed on the individual, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was, okay, so I'm born into my family structure, which is a little weird and whatnot, but mostly loving, but I had a very strong disconnect from my father, right? And I always wanted to be connected to him. And because I couldn't get that, and because I was never enough to earn that from him, or to receive that from him, not to receive, but to just get that from him, right? Because yeah. mm-hmm. I wanted to receive it. I was open to that. In fact, I did a lot of things to prove my worth to my father, but I was always diminished, right? And what happened with that is I started to believe that I wasn't enough. And I went through life believing that. And then labels started to be applied to me by the experiences that I was having, right? And I allowed this to happen because I just wasn't aware.
Right.
That it was happening. I was just going with the I'm just going with the flow. That's the matrix for me. I'm just going with the flow. I ended up getting married. I was a young mother. My son was born when I was 20, and he was born into a loveless relationship. I didn't want to be with this person. But that's what my mom and dad said I needed to do. We're Hispanic. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is what this is. You have to follow this cultural norms, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So, what happened for me is that I followed all the rules. I went to school, I got a job. I was, working in higher education for many, many years. And I ended up going, through my associates, my bachelor's degree. And then I, decided that, you know what, I think I want to get my master's degree because I think I want to teach. And I wanted to go, I really wanted this. And that was when I got my, I meant to say my doctorate. He said doctorate. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I have a doctorate. I got my doctorate.
Yeah, that's a lot of school, like, girl. Don't yeah, leave right? that well, behind.
Because I got my master's degree thinking with this. This is when it started, was with my master's degree. With this, I want to be a certain, you know, I want to be a faculty member. I want to teach, right? And this was my zone. I had like blinders on when I was doing this. I was like, this is the only way that I'm going to be able to contribute is in this capacity and in this way. And I saw other people that were doing it and they had PhDs and I had to be amongst those people. I wanted to belong, which is what Omar alluded to earlier about the core drives, but I didn't know that then. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going through the motion and all of a sudden doors are starting to close on me, like one after the other, after the other. And that I wasn't getting the growth or the acknowledgement that I was needing. And I wasn't being accepted into the groups that I wanted to belong to. Mm-hmm. Right. And slowly the veils, I had multiple veils, started to be lifted. Right. And I had this awakening not very long ago. I would say less than a year ago when it all finally just, it's like I crashed into a brick wall and it was like, oh my God, this is it. I have to make a decision about what I'm going to do with my life. And that was really like a dying to that person that I thought I was. And being born, that's why I use the Matrix, because if you watch the Matrix, there's a point where Neo comes out as a baby and he says, oh, why do my eyes hurt?
But you never used them before.
Because you never used them before.
Right.
And that right there, I get chills when I talk about that, because for me, it was literally like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And being a part of this platform and doing this, when I said early on that it saved me, is because I knew that my message and my capacity to teach was not in higher education. And I thought that was the only place that I could do this.
Right.
But that this was the space that was made for me to teach and to give and to express myself and to express myself from my essence, from living through these experiences that were really difficult for me. Right?
Right.
And knowing that other people were going through it too. I mean, I connected with you on that level when I interviewed you. I mean, we've all gone through these experiences and we've all gone through trying to understand these different beliefs and the core things that drive us. And for me, what was the motivating factor was I wanted to belong and status was a big thing for me. And I didn't know it.
Well, that's because of your worth, because of you not feeling you had worth, right? So the way to get the worth was from the accolades and the, the status. I totally understand that.
Totally. Yeah. And so when that didn't come together, you know, Omar had told me and he would say things and I would get so mad at him because he'd be like, you have to start looking at teaching in a different way. There's other ways that you can teach. And I was like, what are you talking about? I want to be a faculty member. No, stop. I didn't want to hear it. So he was that little voice, like, edging me, like pushing me, like poking me. And I was just like, I don't want to hear it. That's the only way that I'm going to be able to do. I didn't see myself being able to do what I'm doing today, what I'm physically doing and teaching in the way that I'm teaching. And it's a beautiful thing. And so, I don't know if I answered the question now.
Yeah.
I just got
you did. No, I love that. No. So tell me about that though. So let's go into that. Like, what is it that you guys are teaching? Like why a Soul's Quest? I mean, I know I got a little bit from Omar about, really connecting with people and these experiences and stuff. So is that what you feel that you're led to teach now? Like the deepness of all of that, or what are you teaching on your podcast?
So we invite people onto our podcast because we want to express all of the things that Omar mentioned, right? To his point about the oneness, right? We tend to think, because we live in our little worlds, that we are separate. And we do this. It's a conscious effort that we make to separate ourselves from other people. Mm-hmm. But there are so many common threads in the way that we interact, in the way that we live, in the way that, you know, one person walking down the street, you have no idea what that person is going through, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and what one simple, hey, how you doing, can do for that individual, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we separate ourselves and we want to believe that we're different. We're different from other people, but we're not. And so the platform is really, a Soul's Quest is really just, it's a frequency. It invites people in to share and be vulnerable and share those difficult things, because for me, this is me speaking, to make it a norm, to make this something that is acceptable, that's something that we can talk about, mm-hmm, and bring together people that are like-minded and are brave enough to share their stories, or vulnerable enough to share their stories, because everybody's story that comes onto our podcast is going to affect somebody, mm-hmm, in a positive, mm-hmm, manner, because they're, mm-hmm, going to say, oh, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Or somebody's going to hear something and they're going to get triggered by it in a positive way, you know, and they're going, right, to react on that.
And to me, I'm just, it makes fun of me because I'm the philosopher of the group, right? She's very,
I'm very
personal.
Practical. And
she's, yeah, practical and personal. I'm brainy and all that stuff and that stuff. But there is something specific that we follow, mm-hmm, right? So to explain it to you, it all starts with the ultimate realization of who you are, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that is a very powerful thing once you understand it, right? Mm-hmm. So once you understand that, and we say you are the seeker, you are the soul, right? So once you understand that, you begin to then move into the different directions of what the soul is. So the soul has four components. Number one is the desires, like I mentioned earlier. And we'll talk about those in the things that we do. Number two is what is known as emotional intelligence, understanding that your, mm-hmm, emotions are a GPS. Third is how to properly use your intellect, that your power of focus, because what you focus on is really what comes about. And this is not a woo-woo things, right? And I do a lot of works with young people, and I tell them, look at this building. Where did this building start? And they say, well, somebody had to bring all this stuff in. And I'm like, nope. Where did it start?
Right.
This building started in someone's idea.
An imagination.
Mm-hmm. Imagination, yeah. Right? So you have to understand how do you utilize your faculty of reason and the focus of what you put into. From there, you begin to really understand the connectedness, the interconnectedness of everybody and everything, right? Which is, you could only discover this if you follow the next part, which is PEP, what we call it: perspective, experience, and philosophy. So perspective, if you look at your life right here, in with the immediacy of all that's happening, you really are never going to be able to see the potential of what could be, right? Mm-hmm. So we talk about something that is called the orb view effect, which is what astronauts experience when they go into outer space, when they see Earth from a different point of view. And then we also use the Carl Sagan's idea of the pale blue dot. And I don't know if you ever heard of the pale blue dot. Mm-mm. The pale blue dot, when Voyager was, you see, this is the nerd in me. You can see that.
That's fun.
When Voyager was put out into space and it was actually getting to the outer rim of our solar system, Sagan asked the NASA to turn it around and try to take a picture of Earth. So, and he starts by saying, from this vantage point, our Earth is a little speck on a beam of light. So, okay. When you look at life from the perspective of the universe, how expansive it is, two things happen. One, you become very, very scared because, mm-hmm, holy crap, you know, he has his line. When we see it like that, there's no one that is going to come help us save ourselves from ourselves, mm-hmm, right? So it is up to us alone to make something happen. Number two, what it does is that it, so fear comes up. On the other part, that comes out is the awe effect, yeah, right? Because, mm-hmm, awe is that essence of fulfillment, of seeing beauty in what it is, because you could see everything and understand, wow, although it's painful, it's beautiful to see the miracle of our lives and the, mm-hmm, beauty of who we are, right? So we start there. So perspective is being able to see things. And you could use it practically when you have a problem, step back. Look back, step back, and then look at all the options. The second thing is experience, right? Because a life or experience is based on experiences. But you have to reflect properly on your experiences. Mm-hmm. Most of us ask the questions, why, when we look at our experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's wrong, because if you're looking at a negative experience and you're asking why, it's a never-ending pit of despair. Because you're just thinking, well, why did this happen?
Or like, why me? And yeah, I got you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So instead, we ask what and how. What am I learning from this?
I always ask that. Yeah, it's very important to ask that. And it shifts the entire thing. Yeah, it shifts the entire thing for you.
Yes.
Because you're not the victim anymore.
Correct.
You're now pulling out of it what you can learn and pull forward.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens after that is philosophy, right? Now, most people think of philosophy as this domain of branding people, and they're talking about, oh, if, then, and all this formulaic idea. Philosophy is simply this, and it literally means the love of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it means. And it started people talking in the market. Hey, what is a good life? You know, why do you do what you do? It's about questioning things. And again, for me, I hate it because it's like this ivory tower that only a certain select people have. But it's very questions that we ask. Who am I? How am I going to live a good life?
Right.
So when you get this broader perspective and you start learning from your experiences and gaining the good stuff from your experience, now you could create a philosophy, which is an approach on how you're going to go about life. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that life, it's never static. The universe is not static. It's always in motion. And so are we. So the purpose of what we want to accomplish is that we want us to understand that we're constantly evolving. And that our lives don't happen in the future. It happens in the here and now.
That's right.
You know, so we have to, you know, it's realizing that everything that was is okay. Everything that will be is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But here and now, in spite of all my challenges, in spite of all the challenges that we are facing and we have to face and have to overcome, the hurt that we felt, all those things are part of the human experience, right? But they're not bad for us because, you know, I always give this example. Is the sun bad?
No.
No. But it causes droughts.
Yep, it does.
If you go outside and you spend too much time, it will potentially cause you skin cancer.
Yeah.
But
it also gives us light.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It also helps plants and stuff grow. Yeah.
Precisely.
Gives us warmth. We're not freezing to death.
That's
you
true.
Know? Yeah.
So we, in essence, we are aspects of the sun. We are, without it, we can't live, right? Humanity wouldn't exist without it, right? So we are an aspect of it. So when you're looking at life from the point of view of the sun just gives and we benefit from it, right? But we're also an aspect of it. So, I could live from my essence and then nourish everything around me too.
Mm.
If we are conscious of our desires. Because the opposite end, if we're not conscious of what we're desiring, then we could cause problems, which is what you're seeing right now in the world. Everybody wants to, they want the desire for power and to belong because they're right and the other person is wrong.
Yeah, it's very interesting psychology too, right? Because when, even though, and this has been tested, that even though you, like let's say there's a group of people and they're doing something that is not good, you morally will sometimes compromise who you are just to be a part of the group, right?
Yes.
Because you're like, I don't want to be an outlier. I don't want to be alone. Yeah. I need to be a part of the group and we'll go against your own morality to do it.
Yes.
So I have a question because as you're talking, I'm like, you know, my brain always gets curious. So I'm always going through all these things in my head. Do you have an anchor? Like, do any of you have any like faith system? Do you believe in God at all? Or is it just the universe? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, before we could ask that question, I love this question. How do you define God?
To me? How do I define God? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, to me, he is the creator of the universe. He's the creator of humans. He's the creator of everything to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I agree with you on the creator part. I don't agree on the he part.
Is no gender. That's true. I mean, but biblically, I'm just talking from my own experiences, right? Because I'm not a biblical scholar at all. But biblically, he is referred to many times as in the he figure, right? So that's why I said he.
Yeah. So, so I love this topic, right? And again, because in biblically speaking, there's two names that are constantly used, Yahweh and Elohim, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're both opposites and they're the same force, right? So for instance, Elohim is the female aspect of it, right? And Yahweh is the male aspect. And in Judaism, which is the foundation of Christianity, right? It's Noah, Chokmah, and Binah. Yeah. And they're the two aspects of the same thing, right? One is the energy, one gives a form. So when somebody asks me, do I believe in God, right? So God is the word that for something that cannot be described at all, right?
Right.
There is a certain level that we can conceptualize it, but there's something that we don't know what it is. Like even science, if you ask them what happens, what caused the Big Bang? It's like, we don't know.
Right.
So there's that
all theory. That's why it's called theory.
It's all theory. Mm-hmm. But it's beautiful to realize. And this is what I ask people when they ask me, do I believe in God? It's like, I want you to understand that that is a mystery that is beyond our understanding. Mm-hmm. Right. The beauty of life is understanding that we are an aspect of it and we have a responsibility to live from there, to be stewards of one another and everything that's around us. Right. So I grew up Catholic. I grew up in a Christian tradition and I think it was beautiful. I really did. I love going to mass, believe it or not. I enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I'm not a Christian anymore. And not because of none of the religions. Do I believe and live by Christ's principles? Absolutely. I mean, that is Christianity's the hardest thing to do, right? Because can you stand up after you being beaten up, put on the cross and say with all your heart, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Right.
Right. Can we honestly do that? No, I don't know.
I don't think I can. No.
Right.
No.
So
I don't have that level.
Right.
But
I'm Puerto Rican after all,
But there is a depth of realizing in that. Right.
Yeah.
That you see yourself in those people, even though they don't see you, they don't see it yet, right? That's a very high level of consciousness that Christ represented, that the Buddha represented, that Muhammad represented. The reason why I always like this question is because it's a heroic journey. The power of myth and what Joseph Campbell did, understanding that all these stories are stories of our psyche. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're Puerto Rican. I'm from the Caribbean. Obviously you heard of Yemaya and Ochun, right? Which is
of course. I used to be in Santeria
right?
for many years.
So, and they're goddesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those goddesses were still that came from the Western part of Africa. Right. And what they represent was the female energy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as Mary and St. Anne. It's the same thing as Ishtar. Isis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these stories, and this is one of the things that is challenging for people to accept, all these stories are singular in nature, right? Because it talks about to a depth part of us, that we are a representation of that. In our lives, as we unfold it, we begin to realize, oh, that's the same thing, right? Ishtar is Ochun. Ishtar is Miss... It's Mary. It's like the female, all these principles are all there. Now, is it challenging to hear that? Because it challenges our sense of belonging, right? But we have to begin to expand that our sense of belonging is universal rather than specific. Because I don't have an issue at all walking into a synagogue, which I have raised the Torah. I'm not Jewish. I've done it, right? I don't have an issue going into a mosque. I don't have an issue going into a church at all. Because I see the beauty of my perception of God in everything.
Right.
I think that there are vehicles for you to build your life upon, right? I don't think one is better than the other, but they all reach for the same thing, right? It's sickening to see what's happening in the world. You know, you have two religions going at each other for the same biblical God.
Yes and no.
But again, but all this stuff, right, is a matter of ideas and opinions, right? At the core of it all, and this is what the practices that we believe in is all is one. And the sages call it by many different names. You know, until the moment And this is what's going to happen. This is you know, no prophecy or anything. Until the moment that we realize, right, that our separation is only an illusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
That all these things are just illusion that prevent us from seeing God in the other person, the beauty in the other person. Because my idea, it's not what I think. It's completely wrong, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when we start seeing that, we will always have the results that we've gotten, which is separation, which is not understanding other people, because my way is better than yours.
What do you do about someone that is completely disruptive to that view? In other words, someone who's maybe a murderer, a child herder, you know, that type of thing. Like, how do you connect that we are all connected when that mm-hmm. disruption is happening?
Yeah. So I work with survivors of sexual abuse, right? So you mm-hmm. can't get any worse than that. And one of the things that happened, right, when it comes to people. But if you look at it from instance, right, what I talked about, the soul and us not understanding our desires, right? So what you specifically are referring to is the power of sex, of the lust drive, right? Mm-hmm. Everything in creation has that. Right. We wouldn't be here mm-hmm. if it wasn't for that drive.
Absolutely.
And if we don't understand, and this is what happens most of the times with murderers and people like that, right? We don't talk about these things, because if we talk about those desires, right? I mean, our society is so taboo on sex alone. If you don't talk about that, which is the primal drive of existence, right? To create, to procreate, every single being has it. But we can't talk about it, and we constantly are suppressing it, that it's bad. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to blow up. So we have to start normalizing this, oh, we're not driven just by logic. Mm-hmm. We have these other forces that drive us, and we have to talk about it, because you have to put it somewhere. You have to be able to let it go and talk about it. This is why there's an aspect of the LGBTQ community that I love, is this openness to be able to experience these things and have conversations about it, right? But when we don't talk about this is what you see. It's mm-hmm. it's an awareness of understanding that the universe creates. It's in its nature to create. You can see it everywhere you go in nature. That power is inside of us. We don't live just here.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. This is the mistake, personally mm-hmm. speaking, right? This is the part that we try to sterilize a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we want to eradicate them. It's that we want to be able to bring them into equilibrium and understanding that in order for you to achieve something, you need to have that drive that you want something. You need mm-hmm. that, right? If you understand it, you will stop causing harm to other people. If you understand that. This is why I tell people most of the times that the most beautiful story for me in the New Testament is Jesus going in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, right? Because he was tempted on three specific things: lust, right? Power,
mm-hmm.
right? And self-aggrandizement.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, it's no mistake that those three specific things are there, because they're the ones that cause the most problems in the world, right? But having him going in there and face those three specific things: lust, power, and the self, you know, protecting me. Right.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. It's there. It's like, and you saw that same thing with Buddhism. It was the same thing. Buddha mm-hmm. said a retreat. Three, mm-hmm. the same three. Because again, we have to understand those things. We have to understand, oh, this is the drive, right, that could potentially destroy people around you. And those are the things that we have to be able to understand. That's why it's so important for us to be able to define the soul in that way, because it is not an archaic theme. It's actually a practical thing. Mm-hmm. And the more we know it, the more imbalance we're going to be, the more incoherence we're going to be.
Are you guys doing this in your podcast alone, or are you actually bringing in coaching and teaching and leading? Tell me a little bit about that.
So we do, we do trainings, we do workshops,
okay.
we do, you know, we create curriculum, we do a number of things. Yeah. We do the guide. We don't call it coaching. We call it guiding because we believe that we are guiding people to arrive at whatever conclusion it is that they're trying to arrive at, or to evolve with them through mm-hmm. their journey. Right. So yeah, we have ASQ empowerment services, and that's the leadership aspect of what it is that we do, and where we incorporate everything that Omar has touched on. The ASQ methodology is incorporated into that aspect, the ASQ empowerment services.
Okay. Yeah. So this is kind of like where you're using now the teaching that you wanted to do, right? Impacting people in that way. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it really is.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful when you can utilize all the things that you have learned and focused on and put effort in and healed from and all of those things to help others. I think that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. I like your podcast, by the way. I like your guys' energy and the banter back and forth. It's really fun.
That's really on fun. Camera and off.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah. You know, it's cool that you mentioned that, right? Because this is what's needed in our time right now. It's people to be able to see the beauty of who they are and create something. Mm-hmm. Because evolution doesn't happen like, you know, like people think, right? Evolution is us in the here and now and the steps that we take, right? So it's very important that you create something in whatever it is that is yours, like yours. Like, you will never be like me. Not because I'm special, it's because I'm just me, and the beauty of who you are is uniquely yours. Right. And you have to understand that that's why you are the seeker, you are the soul part, because there never was, there never will be.
Right. Anyone. Isn't that amazing when you think about
anyone
that?
Isn't like it? You. Yeah. There'll never be another Nina ever again.
Ever. It's very, very humbling. And, you know, and it just makes you start. I do, you know, believe in God, have a relationship with God in a very deep way. And for me, it's like, why? You're not why in a bad way, but like, tell me what my purpose is. Like, let me be guided with that, because you know, and through all the traumas and stuff that I've been through, it's a beautiful journey of helping another. Yeah. And that's how I always believe that. I believe we are here to serve one another. I really believe that. Yeah. And I never care or ask people about, oh, are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Because that'll tell me if I can help you or not.
Yeah,
right? That's silly, right? But are you my neighbor? Are you my coworker? Are you my friend? Are you a stranger that needs help? Like, that's how I live my life. And I try to live my life like that all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's why I was curious about the disruptors, right? The ones that are harmful to your soul, like those that are, you know, that really can hurt you in a deep way.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So it's a very interesting thing. Yeah.
I've learned this in some of the studies that we've done over the years and stuff, right? And it's this line, nothing is inimical to men, right? I don't know, what is inimical? It says nothing is bad for us, right? Like, nothing is bad for us. That is in, and again, if you break down how you use the word God and what I'm talking about, it's the same thing. It's just the way that it approached us, it's in our unique type of ways, right? But it's the same thing. And this is what I tell people, when you start really going down, you start realizing, oh, it's the same thing. And then the universe, in my case, is using me in this way. God is using you in that way. But both of us are following and listening to the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So when he comes to that idea of creation, right, we have to stop doing things in the here and now. This is why it's important for us to learn from our experiences, right? Know that even the negative experiences, there's some gold in there for us to take. Mm-hmm. There is something in there for to move forward, right? Again, I worked in the human services field, and one of the things that it's always talked about is trauma, PTSD, 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 right? But there's this other aspect that is it hasn't caught up yet, but it needs to catch up. Mm-hmm. It is post-traumatic growth, right? Because it's only in that direction, right? Changing the perspective of how am I growing, right? That things will change, right?
Yeah.
You it's looking at it from the put, but we also, as individuals that have gone through it, like you, myself, Jesse, is us creating the spaces and normalize the fact that it's okay, that those experiences were not of our own making, but we could learn from them.
Yeah. And but have these conversations too, right?
Exactly.
Like have an open dialogue and conversations that just like humans, connecting in a deeper way. And I think that's important, right? And so I'm really grateful for your podcast. Actually, I think it's a lot of fun. I like listening to it. I've watched a few of them already. And like I said, I love the banter back and forth. It's so funny. I'm like, are they going to just start fighting? Are they arguing? What are we doing here? I love it.
There's been some podcast episodes that I get off and I'm like, I'm not speaking to him for 3 days. I'm good.
I know the Puerto Rican look, you know. I know.
I'm Puerto Rican too. So.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. I was born there. Puerto Rican and Dominican. Ooh, es caliente,
You know, that's so awesome. You know what's also interesting, right? Speaking of that, is like we come from a culture that doesn't want to really talk about this stuff, and it's beautiful to see other people in our culture begin to really open up about seeing things differently.
Yeah, we've come a long way for sure.
Yeah, yes, of course. And it's just a beautiful thing that to see that as well in what you're doing.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. This was so good, right? It's such a great open conversation that was supposed to be 30 minutes and we're like 50 minutes in because I like you guys so much. But I really, really appreciate you, and I appreciate what you're putting out in the world and how you are using your life to impact others. And that's what we're here for. That's what I feel like we're here for. So before I wrap up and let you go, because I don't want to, because we could be here for another 3 hours, but I got another call. I just want to know, I want my audience to know how they can, you know, follow you and work with you too. So just give us that information so we can give them a place to go.
If anybody's interested in following us, they can go to the ASQ podcast and on YouTube, and they can find all of our episodes on there. We're on all social media outlets, ASQ podcast. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn, Dr. Jesse Ferreira. Omar is also on LinkedIn. A Soul's Quest is on LinkedIn as well. So we're everywhere. You can pretty much just search us up and you can find us that way. But also, an even better way would be to go to asqempowerment.com. Okay. And people can go there and they can actually interact with us in that platform. That's our website. Right now, we are making available in the next couple of days here an assessment, a cultural assessment for leaders. And if anybody is interested in speaking with us about that, about making cultures coherent and alignment. Omar doesn't like the word alignment. He likes coherence. They can connect with us that way. But we also have a journal that is available for people. They can interact with us that way.
And our main goal is twofold, right? Number one is individual transformation, right? And we believe in the social ecological change model that anything that happens, any change starts with the individual. Whether it is in your families, whether it is in organizations, whether it is in societies. And our goal is for people to, number one, understand who they really are, which is our part of the universe. And number two, to find their point of expression. Because from that point of expression is where positive impact happens. You know, and I can't tell you what that is for you. We could guide you, you know, but there's something in you, and most of us know what that is. So our job is to guide you to be able to see that in everything that you do.
Yeah. Well, you guys are so awesome. Well, anyway, thank you for being on Straight Talk. I'm super grateful. And I will make sure, guys, I'll link all of their info below because they're awesome, right? So thank you guys for hanging out with me. I appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, guys. Please follow them. I'm going to make sure to link everything because I'm already listening to a lot of their stuff. So you're just going to have to go ahead and do it too. I'll make sure that I link that. I'll link the website and everything so you guys can connect. Because, you know, when people are out here really trying to impact you in a way that shifts your perspective and takes you out of the matrix or out of what you already have as a routine, you need to listen, because a lot of times we are just stuck in a loop. And then you're wondering why you're there. See, the life that you have right now, if you're looking around and you're saying, I don't like my life. Well, you built it. That's the life you actually built. So change it. Change your circumstances, change your perspective, change where you're coming from, know who you are, and then you can really shift what you're looking at and saying, I don't like. All right, guys, thank you for being here. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.
Thank you.